Is this recording?
Yeah. Recording.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning again. Should I start off the shit being upset? Brian, I'm sorry, I'll get that out of my kitchen list and then we can go on with the rest of the shit. You read the paper in the morning. The world is getting upset about the blood that is being shed in Libya.
Right.
5 years, millions of Jews are taken to the gas chambers. You hear anybody? The Pope said a word? Who cares? Now they're getting all the whole world. Everybody, the Security Council is coming into action, and all the hilarious in the world, the NGOs, are all very, very. What's happening over there? You disagree with me?
So they have to, because Libya happens to have the chairmanship of the Human Rights Council. They're abusing people.
Libya has the chairmanship of the Human Rights Council. That's right. And what about thousands of rockets that came from Gaza to on Eretz Yisrael? Who knows how many thousands of Hezbollah? Shush still! And the madness of it all was Friday night, this past Friday night, there was an emergency meeting of the Security Council to condemn the building of Mirpasot in Yehudah v'Shomron. The whole world is exploding. There's one issue that all the Gedolei Olam have to come together. And for this, you understand. It's unbelievable. But we live in a world that has gone stark, raving mad. We should have known it already for the last 3,500 years. We should have known it. But every so often we have to be reminded, Shnei Yisrael, the whole bunch of them. All that we have to pray is that all of the upheavals that are taking place in all of these countries will ultimately end up being for the Tova of Am Yisrael. I like to feel that such unusual and unique upheavals are divinely planned. But we don't know, the question keeps us guessing, what's the end game? We don't know that yet. So what we have to pray for, therefore, is Arich Rishon V'Shon, that the Bereshit should give us Gesin and long life. We should be able to see how it all plays itself out. I can't wait. It doesn't, I got that off my chest. I feel much better. Okay. I think I mentioned to you that, what was it, 2 weeks ago? A week and a half ago, we were at a... My wife and I were at a convention, a Kenneth of Kavanah in Eilat, as I told you, that we have these gatherings of rabbis every half a year, in which we resolve the problems of Klal Yisrael of the past half a year, and then we'll get together another few months from now to solve the problems that will develop in the course of the next year. Somehow or other, I always find something that took place there something that I heard there, and I can share it with you. So there was a very beautiful Dvar Torah that Rabbi Shlomo Meilau said. He is, of course, the master speaker in the Jewish world today. There's nobody comes.
What's his name?
Huh?
What's his name?
Lau, Rabbi Shlomo Meilau.
Oh.
He's an artist. Without his permission, I'm going to take one of his ideas and take it a little bit further. Because it's an idea that, comes up every so often, and I've spoken about it long, long time ago in the past. Number one. V'asita takroshim l'mishkan, atzei shitim ondin. You shall make the beams of the Mishkan of shitim wood, standing erect. There are beams, the whole The Koshim, the whole Mishkan, the Mishkan was made up of Koshim. 20 along one wall, 20 along another wall, 8 and 8 on the two sides. That was the building, and in that building was the menorah, the shulchan, the altar on which they brought the ketoret. There was the kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim. That was it. 20 beams this way, 20 beams that way. Okay. Where did they have kodeshim in the desert? What do you think? You come into the Sinai Desert, most probably, people trying to cross the border to get into Eretz Canaan from Africa, that you had Bedouin tribes that were robbing, you had, they may even have tunnels in those days, but where do you get beams of shittim wood? So Rashi says, Va'asisa et ha-kiroshim, you shall make the beams. Hoyololomar va'asito kiroshim. It should have said, and you shall make beams. Without the hay. You shall make beams. But it says in the pasuk ha-kiroshim, that means these are very special beams. Kimoshinama behold over the dory. He extends the question by all of the other objects that were made in the Mishkan, it doesn't say a hay. The special. As it says, by each other writing this question, Mahu, so what is man? Mahu, what's meant by HaKiroshim, the Kiroshim? Me'otam ha'omdin yuchadam lakachon, those which have been standing as designated for this purpose. Yaakov ha'omdinu nota arrozen in Mitzrayim. Yaakov, our father Yaakov, he planted cedar trees in Egypt. And when he was dying, he commanded his children that when they leave Egypt, take the trees with you. And he said to them, God is going to command you to make a dwelling place to him from shittim wood. Take these trees with you. Re'u she'iyu mizumone b'yedchem. See to it that they should have them ready at hand. Hu she'yisi ha'bavli b'piyutcholo. This is the Midrash explosion on which the Babylonian based the line in his piyut, a poem that was written, in which he wrote, Tos mata mizorozin. The planting of the roused Israel flew from Egypt to become korot batenu arozim, the shittim beams of our temple. For they had been diligent to have them ready at hand in advance, for they remembered exactly what Yaakov Avinu told them, and they made sure to have those beams ready with them to take them out with them from Egypt. Okay, that's all we need at this point. But even, I mean, maybe nice to take a look at the Rashi on the next passage. This is just going off a little bit on a tangent. The next passage, passage 16, says, Ezer amot ora ha-keresh, va'amo v'chetzi ha-amo, rochel, 10 amos the length of each beam, and an arm and a half the width, and the rest of the pasuk says it was 10 amos high. Eser amos orech ha-keresh. 10 amos was the length of the keresh. So Rashi says, limdonu, this comes to teach us, gav ho shel mishkan. 10, stand it up, it's 10 amos high. Lamadnu, Lindon comes to teach us Gavo Shal Mishkan, the height of the Mishkan, 10 amos. When I come to this Rashi, it's just that an anecdote that reminds me of an anecdote. Yes, I think it was, if I remember correctly, I'm trying to think back now to 1956, a long time back. Right? the Panovich Rav, Rav Yosef Kahaneman, visited Baltimore. I had a ride back in the yeshiva from a year and a half, 2 years in Eretz Yisrael. I was back, and I had learned about three quarters of a year I learned in Panovich. Now the Panovich Rav would travel out of the country every so often. He built a, I mean, the empire of Torah that he built was all in the 50s yet. In the 50s yet. The story that they, I'm going off on tangents, you know, is that a function of age? It's okay. It's all right. The story, the apocryphal story that's told is that in 1942, the Panovich Rav had started building Panovich on a hill in Bnei Brak, and somebody told him, Rebbe Leiden, what are you building now? Rommel is at the gates of Alexandria. The British had already given orders that the entire army in Eretz Yisrael and Egypt should prepare to withdraw. Of course, at least 400,000 Jews over here in the hands of Hitler and Russia. They're going to fall back into Mesopotamia. Jews in Eretz Yisrael walking around with a sense of doom. And he starts building. So somebody told him, Rebbe, they say that in 10 days Rommel is going to be here.
Yeah.
His response was, 10 days? Then we have to start building even quicker. He was not concerned. By the way, he turned out to be right, you understand. He built. So why am I talking about it? So here it is, the Panovich Rav is visiting Baltimore, and I'm not sure it was, it may have been the Rosh Yeshiva or somebody else who introduced him. He introduced him to the crowd. Panovich Rav, who's Panovich Rav? So he said, the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall. An amo is about 2 feet. He's 10 times 2. 20 feet tall. How does the Gemara know that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall? Because later the Pasuk is going to say, Vayas Moshe Tamishkan Eser Amot. Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mishkan, which was 10 amos tall. So, of course, the Kasha immediately is, and here I'm going to date myself as well, that the person who built the Empire State Building has to be as tall as the Empire State Building. I would have used World Trade Center at a different moment in history. So he said, let's say the Rosh Yeshiva of Rudin said, he said that when the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall because he built the Mishkan, what homiletically what the Gemara is saying is, if you want to know the measure of a man, take a look at what he built. If you want to know the measure of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the one who built a Mishkan that God came down and brought his presence down to dwell there. But the Gemara doesn't necessarily have to mean that he was 20 feet tall. As one of the rabbis in the Talmud says, you've turned Moshe Rabbeinu into some kind of a freak of nature. Now, if you want to know the measure of a man, take a look. What did he build? Okay, that's why I learned this other pasuk and that Rashi. The point that we're making with the Krashim is that Yaakov Avinu had a hand in the construction of the Mishkan. It's not the children alone. There was a Yaakov Avinu already who was concerned, and he made a major contribution to the construction of the Mishkan. Number two, V'habriach hatichon b'toch hakroshim. Now, how do these beings stand? There are a number of ways that they stood. At the bottom of each kedesh, there was a metal, there were adanim. The adanim were sort of heavy metal. The krashim went into the adanim, and then you lined up 20 and 6 or 8, and another 20. But there were another, what else was necessary was a briach. Each kedesh had a hole in it, two holes. And it corresponded to a hole in the next kedesh, and they would put through a briach, a long beam that went through in the middle of all of them. Long beam. Here's the pasuk. B'habriach haticham. The middle bar, betoch hakadoshim, in the midst of the beams, mavriach me'akotzer l'akotzer, shall extend from end to end. And the fact is, when you think of it, this has to be a briach. That's like Plastic Man. Remember Plastic Man? I don't know who Plastic Man was. He was able to fit into all sorts of places, extend himself, pull himself. Because this briach hatichon, it's wood. It should be non-malleable, non-pliable. It doesn't, but you know what? It had a special quality that you put the briach in. You know, I'll tell you exactly what it was like. You ever had, you don't have to answer the question. If you ever had a stimar, if you ever had a, the plumbing, when your plumbing gets stuffed up, so along comes the plumber with one of these long metal things, you know. It's called a snake. And it goes in any place, and before you know it, everything is clear. This briach hatichon was like that snake. It went through 20 crushing, it bent, went through another few, came out the other side. It's unbelievable. Where did they get a briach hatichon? Where did they get a middle bar that extends from end to end? So this next piece, I didn't write, I should have written what it is. That right after the pasuk, this is a Targum Yonatan. A Targum Yonatan that somebody translated into Hebrew. It's not in Aramaic, it's in Hebrew. And this Targum Yonatan is not the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Yonatan ben Uziel was a Tana, I think it was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He wrote the Targum, the Gemara says, Gemara Megillah, Targum Shel Torah was written by Unculus Hager, the convert Unculus. Boy, he have a rough time in Israel today. You know? They check out his conversion, boy. I think he passed. Anyway, Unculus Hager wrote the Targum of Torah. Yonatan ben Uziel wrote the Targum of Nevi'im, of the books of the prophets. And the Gemara says that when Yonatan ben Uziel wrote the books, the Targum, the Aramaic translation, and really it's much, much more than a translation, it's an elaboration. It really brings all sorts of events that are not clearly stated in Navi. He brings it. It says that when Yonatan wrote Targum, Yonatan ben Uziel, on Tamach, Nizdaza Ha'aretz, the whole world shook. And a voice came out and said, Mi Gilo Libonai Roze, who revealed to my children all of these secrets? And he got up and said, God, I cannot tell a lie, I did it. I didn't do it for my dignity and my honor or the honor of my family. Elo shalo yirbu machloket b'Yisrael. I didn't want that there should be all sorts of differences of opinion in understanding the difficult psukim in Tanakh. But nobody wrote Targum for Ketuvim, Tilin, Mishlei, Ezra, Nehemiah, etc. And why did nobody write that? That was not permitted because there in Sefer Daniel you have the end of days when Mashiach will come. That cannot be revealed. This Targum Yonatan is not Yonatan ben Uziel. It may be from 7th century or 8th century, and coming there, it seems that it was based on all sorts of Midrashim, and it made its way into our Kreuz Gedolos Chumash. Not every Chumash, every Chumash has Targum Onkelos, but not every Chumash has Targum Yonatan. In some Chumashim it's called Targum Yerushalmi, and in some they call it Targum Yerushalmi and Yonatan. Right, that's just a little historic background. What does he say? A fascinating story with this middle beam. The Habriach HaEmtzoi, the middle beam, B'toch HaKroshim, in the midst of the beams, Mavriach Min HaKotzer LaKotzer, it goes through from one end to the other, Min HaEitz Asher Nota Avraham Bever Sheva. This came from the tree that Avraham Avinu planted in Beersheba. The Kasher Ovru Yisraelos Hayam, this gets more interesting. When the Jewish people crossed the Red Sea, Korsu Hamalochim Esoit, the angels went and they cut down that tree in Beersheba, Vishnichu Layam, and they cast it into the raging waters of the Yamsuf. Voyot Sof Al Pnei Hamayim. And it floated. It floated on the water. And there was an angel who was announcing to everybody, this is the tree that Avraham planted in Beersheba. And there, by that age, there in Beersheba, he prayed to God. The children of Israel took it, and they made it the central beam. Orko Shivim Amma. Its length was 70 Amma. 70 Amma, that's 140. 70 is 140, right? 140 Amma. That's a race to double that, then you'll have the number of feet. The Nisim Nasu, well, there were miracles that were made with that. Kikashe Hikimos Amishkan. Galgel Kenochash. By the way, I used the right word. When I said that, it sounded like a little something in my head over here. Like the snake that's used by the plumber. It went through the crushing Kenochash, Sabiv, all the way around. You understand? Solid piece of wood becomes plastic. Bilofanim the Karshe HaMishkan, inside the beams of the Mishkan. The Karsher HaYim Mitpareg, right, the miracles aren't over when they would take the Mishkan apart. It would come out, HaYim Mitzdakev Kimateh. It would become tall, hard, one piece, like a staff. You know what that means? Not only did Yaakov Avinu have a share in the Mishkan, Avraham Avinu also had a share. But it's a little bit more than a share. Between Avraham and Yaakov, you've got the structure of the Mishkan, Avraham and Yaakov. If you will look for Yitzchak, you don't have to look too far. Why don't you have to look far? What was Yitzchak? Yitzchak was Korban, sacrifice. Everything that takes place in the Mishkan speaks of Karban, Kabbalos. Yitzchak is the classic sacrifice. Alright? Alright, so what do we do? We have the Kroshim, we have the Briach HaTichon, and we learned, I think 2 weeks ago, we learned about the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. The breastplate of the Kohen Gadol had 12 stones in, and on the stones were written the names of the tribes: Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. And at times of need, when there was a crisis for Klal Yisrael, they needed the answer to some kind of a serious question as to what they shall do. So the king or the prophet would ask the Kohen Gadol, and we learned about it in 2 weeks, so the letters would start lighting up, and that would be the answer coming directly from heaven. Let's see a little bit of a Gemara about the about this. Here it is. The Gemara discusses this. The Gemara Masechta Yoma. The Gemara discusses how the Urim Tumah responds to questions. Ketzed Nasis. How is it done? What happens when you ask a question? Rav Yochanan Omar. Rav Yochanan says, Boltos. The letters protrude to spell out the answer. The letter, in other words, we'll see some examples. The letters would protrude, they would come out, then you have to read them. Resh Lakish Omer, Mitzarpos. Resh Lakish says that they would come together. I am meaning that not only would the letters come out, but according to Resh Lakish, the letters would form themselves into an answer. Mm-hmm. Now, but the Gemara asks, V'holo ksiv b'hu tzadi. There's no tzadik. You take all the 12 tribes. There is no tzadik by any one of the 12 tribes. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the answer is going to be, yes, they needed it. They needed it. At one point, there was an answer from God, Alei, go up, go to war, v'hatzlach, and you will be successful. But wait a minute, there's no tzaddik over there. How will they give that kind of an answer, you understand? If your keyboard is missing a letter, then there are answers that cannot be given. Now, if you'll take a look immediately, immediately to the right, number 12. Number 12 is a footnote from the... No. I said immediately to the right, not to the other side. You see the English on the right? There's an 11, a 12, and a 13. Okay, look at 12. There's no tzaddik. How then could one receive his response if this letter was needed to spell out the answer? For example, the words, yeah, this was by David. David asked, when David was away at war, before he was king, he was encamped with 400 men and their families down at Nahal HaBesor. Nahal HaBesor is in the northern Negev. And when they come back, camp is empty. All the women and children have been taken. It was unbelievable, the pain, you could feel in the sukkah, the pain of David and his 400 men. They've lost everything, their wives, their children. But the Kohen was with him. And the Kohen, he says, take out the Choshen. He put on the Choshen, and he asked, will we save our women and children? And the Choshen said, the Urim the Tumim said, Hatzel, Tatzil, you are going to save them. They couldn't say it if you don't have a tzaddik. There's no tzaddik over there. Now, the next paragraph is very important. The Gemara could similarly have asked that the letters Ches and Kuf are lacking. There's no Ches and there's no Kuf. There's no tzaddik, there's no Ches and no Kuf. However, with the Gemara's answer, this problem is resolved as well. You know what it really means? If they want it, there are four letters missing. How many? No. We just talked. Wait. We're talking about tzaddik, chet, and kuf. I'm missing. There's going to be another one yet. If you're missing these three, by the way, all you have to do is add the name Yitzchak. Yitzchak has tzaddik, ches, and kuf that are missing from the 12 tribes. But we'll see right away what the Gemara answers. Amar Rav Shmuel, back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel by Yitzhak. Rav Shmuel by Yitzhak said, Avram Yitzhak v'Yakov k'siv sham. On the breastplate, not only did you have the names of the 12 tribes, also engraved there was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hey, that means if the Kroshim were Yaakov and the Briach HaTichon was Avraham, the Choshen Mishpat now has Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Yitzchak, of course, makes up for three of the four letters that we're missing. Is our problem over yet? Problem is not over yet. Of course, the Gemara asks further. Holok tiv tet. There is no tet in all these names. That means the 12 tribes, with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, there's no tet. So what are you going to do? Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, Shiftei Yeshurun Ketiv Sham. They also wrote Shiftei Yeshurun, those two words. Shiftei Yeshurun. In Shiftei, you already have the test. So everything is fine. All answers can be given. All right, we don't have to learn the rest of the Gemara. So remember what's happened over here now? We've gone another step further. In other words, we have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are intimately involved in the construction of the Mishkan. You'll see number four, the Rambam. The Rambam says, Ketzad Maaseh HaChoshen, how did you make the Choshen? Odei Beged Maaseh Choshen, Min Hazor, V'Achenes, V'Argon, V'Tolat, Shani, V'Sheish, Al Esrum, V'Shmoy, Nechuti, Kimo Shebiyanu. You have to take all of these, the gold, the purple wood, the blue wood, the red wool, and the linen, and you make of them chutin, you know,
thread.
Yeah, good. The simple words, one.
You have to mix. You're not allowed to mix wool with ink.
You're worried about shampoos. So I'll tell you. The Ferish Gemara in Halacha, the begotten of a Kohen Gadol had Shabbos. And it was the Ferish Halacha in Torah, he's allowed to wear Shabbos only when he is wearing the eight garments and when he's doing the service in the Mishkan of the Beit HaMikdash. If he wears it at any other time outside of the Mishkan, he's wearing Shabbos. Orko Hamo Verabbo said as a Kofel Dishnayim. The Rambam, we explained, it was an Amo long. It was folded in half, and he put in the name of God in the middle. The Kofel Dishnayim Nimsa Zedes al Zedes Meruba. It was a square span by a span. That's what it ended with. Kovea Boharba Tudim Shaleven, and you put the four rows of stones, precious stones, on it. The Furish Batora, Oden, Pididor, Verekes. Okay, because I know one pasuk of the four, that's okay. Leshem Shivo Vachloma, Tarshish Shoham Vyoshbe. How can I forget that one? Tarshish Shoham Vyoshbe. We had them all. All right. the next halacha. Halacha Zayin Ram. Umefatech al avon ishmos hashvatim kitoldozom. And he's supposed to engrave on those precious stones the names of the tribes according to their birthdays. The nins of kosev al odem. On the stone that was odem, he wrote Ruvim val yoshbei binyamin. Yashbei was the last of the 12 stones. And who was the youngest of the tribes? Binyamin, of course. So Binyamin is written on Yashbei. Yes. I think the Medrash says that Yashbei means
Yesh-peh.
He has a mouth. But he doesn't say, he found out like everybody else, that the brothers had sold Yosef, but he never told
Yaakov.
He has a mouth, but he knows what to do with his mouth. You don't always say everything you know. That was Binyamin. the Kosei Petrila, the Malami Ruvain, Ak. Above Ruvain, you're right, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. That's the halacha. The Kosei Lemato, Mi Binyamin, at the bottom, below Binyamin, you're right, Shiftei Kof. By the way, the Rambam here disagrees with the Gemara. Says not Shiftei Yeshurun. Yeshurun is another name for Israel. Yeah. By Yeshurun, no? Right? Well, according to the Rambam, you write Shiftei Ko. Kadesh Yu Ko, Ha'otiot Mitzuyot Yam. So that you should have all the Osius and the Aleph base, then you. Of course, I think there are those who ask, well, why don't you just write the whole Aleph base? Obviously, the answer is no. We want to have the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And I would say that Shiftei Ko is extremely important. Because if you have 12 stones with the names of 12 tribes, we are left with the impression that they are completely separate, unique, one having nothing to do with the other. No. That's why you write Shiftei Ko. We're one people. But each one has his own unique and individual contribution to make the Klal Yisrael. Each one of the tribes had to retain his own individuality, but all of their individual abilities were used for the greater glory of Klal Yisrael. So down at the bottom, after all the names are listed, Shiftei Ka, they are all united in the fact that they are the tribes of God. Okay, let's turn over. Yes?
So from which stones did they write these extra letters?
Which?
On which stones from which era did they write these extra letters? On what did they write those extra letters?
I was thinking of that question.
Oh.
And which stone did they write? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Where did they write Shiftei Ko? I'll tell you the truth. All that the
Rabbi Gold.
You have an answer?
In the Torah tidbit a couple of weeks ago, it showed you that.
Yes, right.
And it said they were in six letters per stone. It showed it.
The Rambam says it later. You hear? All right. I'm sorry. I think your job has to be for next week. You are going to make sure that we all have a Xerox of that Torah tidbit.
No.
And the truth is, I remember seeing it there or someplace in the Rambam that with each, a letter was added to each one of the Shvatim.
Yeah, they have.
Ruvain letter, Shimon letter, each one, and then they had a whole cheshbon how it worked.
Phil did that.
I'm going to have to tell Phil what took place in this class this week. Beautiful. You're right. I think there's some place where the Rambam says it. Okay, on the other side. It's getting late, it's getting late.
Yeah, we have
a Mishnah. We're really going to learn the Mishnah in order to get to the end of the Mishnah. Mishlo ro simchat beit ha-shoribah lo ra'al simcha miyamah. Women did not see the celebration of the water drawing on Sukkos that took place on the Beit HaMikdash. They never saw rejoicing in his life. The Moitzoy Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, at the end of the first day of Yom Tov of Sukkos, Yoredu Lev Hasnoshim, the Kohanim and Levim went down to the women's courtyard, Umetakdin Shom Tikun Gadol, where they made an arrangement of great benefit. You know what the arrangement of great benefit was? There's going to be a lot of singing and a lot of dancing, and they put up a mechitza. How do you like that? Goes all the way back to the Beit HaMikdash itself. And there were menorot shel zahav hayusham. There were golden candelabras to illuminate the proceedings of our boss and fallen shel zov b'roshem. And there were four golden bowls of top, each one of them to contain oil. In other words, there's going to be a lot of oil to keep those candelabras
burning.
The arboy yeladim mipirche gunam, four youths from the young kohan were assigned to them. Ubiyadeim, kadin shalmeya be'esem lugan, in their hands were pitchers containing a total of 120 lugan of oil. There's a lot of oil. These young kohanim have a lot of oil, and they have all these menorahs, and they have all of these receptacles, and everything's Shehim Atilun Chol Sefer Sefer, that they poured the oil into each one of the bowls. The next line is what we're interested in. From the worn-out trousers of the Kohanim and their belts, mehen hoyu mashkiin. From them they would make wicks, ubahen hoyu madlikin, and would kindle them. Where did the wicks come from? All of these menorahs? You didn't just throw out a Kohen's garment when it was no longer fit for use. They put them away and they used them on sukkahs as wicks. They needed wicks. Trousers and the garment, the belts of the Kohanim, were used. And that, with that they would kindle. There was not a courtyard in Jerusalem that was not illuminated by the light of the celebration of Simchat Beit Sheva. Chassidim Rashi Meisa, who were not going to say, pious men and good deeds were dead. Not the whole minute of Simchat Beit Sheva, as we know here in Yerushalayim today, started from this mission, it goes all the way back to the time of the Beit HaMikdash. So here Rabbi Lau asks, and I want to make the question even stronger. They had nothing better to use to make wigs than the worn-out trousers of the Kohanim. There is even a point where the Gemara says, with regard to a different halacha, Ein aniyut b'makom ashiyut. You don't act poor in a place of great wealth. The Beit HaMikdash was a place of great wealth. So I asked, but that's what we need. The Alta, how is it?
But it says, you're not allowed to waste.
Recycle.
You're not allowed to what?
Waste.
Oh, okay. She says you're not allowed to waste. And she says recycle. Okay. I see already. We're learning this Mishnah in the 21st century. You're right then.
Also, there was tremendous global warming.
Oh, there was tremendous global warming. Let's get Al Gore to the Beis HaMikdash as quickly as possible. All right. So Rav Lau said, you know what? You have to know whenever there was a great simcha like this, that generations back of Kohanim were also participating. They were also participating. Old Kohanim don't die, they just fade away. But somehow or other they are there as part of this great simcha. So we have already... We have already four demonstrations of an idea. The idea, of course, that is developing now is that whatever we are, we owe to the generations that preceded us. Mm-hmm. Let no one think that he was born into a world that was an absolute vacuum. And I built the world. I made. I created. No. Take it easy. We all call upon the strength and the ideas and the thoughts that come all the way down. Don't underestimate Tata and Mama and Buddhist and Zaydis and all of the generations who preceded it. So I've added to this the next piece of Gemara. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, this is a Gemara in the Sefer Brachos. And this is one of, I may have mentioned it at one time, this is every so often, whenever I can get away with it, I'll say it under a chuppah. You understand? If I haven't done a chuppah in a while, I assume that everybody forgot what I said at the last chuppah. So I'll say this. The Gemara says the following: Kol hanena misudas chosin, anybody who enjoys the sudah of chosin ve'eno misamcho and does not add to the sense of joy, over b'chamisha kolos, has transgressed the five sounds, the five voices. That's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, kol sason, the kol simcha, kol chason, the kol kala, kol onrim, the voice of those who say, praise be God. And what happens if somebody doesn't indeed participate? and add to the joy of Kosson and Kala? What is his reward? So, there are a number of answers in the Gemara. One answer that we have over here is one that interests me. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak amar, ki'ilu bono achas mechurvas Yerushalayim. If you dance at a wedding and you sing, the reward is it's considered as though you built one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Alright? So, depends if the chuppah is a little tense and you have to lighten it up a little bit. You see Chosid and Kala, you know, and the parents on all sides and all, you kind of get a smile out of them. So I will say that, Hillary Clinton, if she would know that in this chasana we are building one of the rooms of Yerushalayim, she would tell us. You can't sing at weddings. No construction in Yerushalayim. That usually gets Kosson and Kala and their parents loosened up. Okay? But there's another question.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the Gemara say it's as though they built a new house in Yerushalayim? A new house!
Settlement.
New house! Why built one of the ruins of Yerushalayim? So the answer that Darshanim give and rabbis under the chuppah, where I better not do a chuppah with any of you present, is let no couple think that they are building a new home. You're not building a new home. You're taking everything that you got from your parents, from your tata, from your mama, from your bubba, from your zeta, from your community, from all of that, the totality of Mesorah that has been handed down for 3,500 years from Sinai and further. Those are the building blocks. You are building upon foundations that were already there. On those foundations. So therefore, so when you take it all together, you know what it means? We have the same idea being expressed in so many different places. Chevra, you needed beams for the Mishkan. You didn't build that whole Mishkan. You know where you got that Mishkan from? You built that building. From Yaakov Avinu. You needed a Briach HaTichon, that snake beam that's going to hold it all up. You didn't make that. You did a lot of other work. We're not taking away from you. But there was an Avraham Avinu who was already concerned about that 400 years earlier. And you know, let's not forget, the Malachim also have a share in the construction of the Mishkan. They're the ones who cut down the tree, and they're the ones that brought it to the Yam Suf. Okay? So that, and then the Choshen. The Choshen. Don't think it's just Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. It's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They also are involved over here. There is an unbreakable chain that brings all the generations together. And whatever we do here, and we do now, so of course, number one, we are building on all of those feelings and emotions and thoughts and ideas and philosophies and conduct that we have learned from all of the generations that preceded us. So then, I want to sum it all up in that one great pasuk in Torah that I don't know how many shiurim I gave on that pasuk. Zekei van Vehu, Elokei Avi Vado Memenu. When the Jewish people sang with Moshe at the Yam Suf, that great pasuk, they saw and they experienced God. Zekei van Vehu. And Rashi says, Ros or Shif Halayam, a maid servant that the sea saw more than the prophets and more than Yecheskel ben Uzi Hanavi. But Klal Yisrael went a step further. Even though they've experienced, they've seen it, they feel it, they know it, their knowledge is not alone, is not enough. They add Elokei Avi Vado Memenu, the God of my father. I got it from him, and I once explained, oh, this story, I'll tell you, okay, I'll tell you that story too. Instead of the past, I'll tell you that story too. Because I'm afraid if I'm going to go to the next piece, that's a whole sheer in itself. We'll see, we'll watch the clock. You'll remember the story when I start telling it to you. I decided one day, about 15 years ago, to clean my desk. There were papers of all sorts, extremely important, you know. Can't get rid of anything. We Americans are such hoarders. I envy Israelis. You can come into an Israeli apartment, it's not ungestopped with all sorts of heavy furniture. Simple, it's a pleasure. The air can go. And we have, they, what we have collected over the years, don't ask me. I can't, it's a problem. I can't get rid of it. And we're trying desperately to downsize, you know. Because Lachamei Vest and Sean, you know, the kids are going to throw everything out. So let's save them the effort of throwing it all out. Let's clean it out. So I start. I'm cleaning up my desk. One of the first things I came to, and this was about 1990, 1992. I came to a calendar from 1986. Calendar in 1980. I need a calendar in 1986. With great fanfare, I threw it into the trash can.
Then took it out.
Then I took it out. Maybe there's something in there. Nobody is looking. Nobody is looking. I bent down, picked it up. I opened it up. There was a reason why somebody was given to me, was a good friend of mine, and he died afterwards. I'm like, held on to it, it wasn't good. And it was a calendar that at the bottom of each page they had, it was a book calendar, this size, and there were aphorisms down the bottom. And I came to the great aphorism of all. I must have said at least 3-4 shiurim were based on that aphorism. Marshall McLuhan said, Marshall McLuhan was a Canadian, a philosopher of media, whatever. And I saw this. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. You always have to hear it a second and a third time. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. What does that mean? Great wisdom. Great wisdom in this world.
Yeah.
We see what we want to see.
Yeah,
10 people can see the same thing and walk away with a completely different story of what they saw. They're saying, I'll tell you the story, my shock that morning. I had 5 minutes, okay. And I was very upset. I was excited by the work, and I was very upset. And I said to myself, Chachmei Yisrael, our great rabbis, 3,500 years, couldn't come up with something as beautiful and as powerful as this Marshall McLuhan. It was the month of Elul. I went to shul that morning. This was all before. No, before I go to shul, I'm already cleaning my desk. By the way, don't forget that I never finished cleaning the desk. It needs to be cleaned now just like it needed 15 years ago. But I'm not that bad. I put things in order. The piles of mess are neat piles of mess. I got a shul. It's the month of Elul, and the Rebbeinu takes the neshama out of me. The very end of davening. The next to last sentence in the davening. In Elul we say, L'davar Hashem Ori. And you know what we say again? Lulei he'emanti lir'ot betuv Hashem. If I would not have believed it, I would not have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. In Eretz Yisrael, by the way, Paul is talking about. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't have seen it. Felt better. And then, you know, I sit up front in my shul. I lifted my eyes to the parochas. It was by my wife's insistence, because she knew that this is my favorite pasuk. What's emblazoned on the parochet? Zekeli Vandego, or the Chiovi, Varomeno. You know what Consul is saying at the Amsov? If we were able to say, this is my God, you know why we were able to say, this is my God? Because we believed it. We saw what we believed. Because because I have received this knowledge and belief in God from Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, I was able to identify at the Yom Suf what was there. Said Kelim Tanveil, Alekei of Avraham. Of that pasuk. And Rashi, the great Rashi, I said, I think my wife said I should have had the whole Rashi on the Parochus also. Lo ani tchila takidusha. Rashi says, I'm not the beginning of all of this sanctity. El mozeket bo medetli. I have this sanctity, this belief, profound belief in God. Mozeket li miyemei avotai from the days of my father. I didn't discover God. I saw him now, but he was discovered by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So therefore, in the totality of building the greatest structure ever built, the Mishkan, for God, Avraham participates, Yitzchak participates, Yaakov participates. Generations of Kohanim going back, who knows how many years they held those trousers of the Kohanim in order to make that which is going to light up all of Yerushalayim. There's an unbroken, unending chain of the soul. All the generations are locked together. And therefore, on the Choshen, you had all of the tribes, but you also had Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you also had Shiftei Kohath. They are separate, they're unique, they're individual, but they are all part of the greater one, which is Shiftei Kohath.
Rabbi
Gold,
does Rav Ariyah
Dor
come from this
Ariyah? What?
Rav
Ariyah Dor. Of course. Did you get that? That's when you get the Rav Ariyah. Because the Rav Ariyah Dor
goes through.
It goes into the wall.
And into the floor.
Yes, and into the floor, exactly. There it is.
What about the
staff
that turned into a snake?
It's your snake. Yes?
It turned into a snake.
That was very good. That was emotional. Very good. This is called explicate me.
I identify with your destiny very much. My husband doesn't want to touch it. We don't dust it, nothing.
He's right. Take your hands off his desk.
My husband.
So you know what? So now we have two desks. My wife took over my own desk instead, and it's messier than it ever was with me. Yes?
It's
There's this lady that called yesterday.
Hi. Ask her what the two words were for the Abraham.
I'm Andy Heller. I said, I know you know the name.
What do you mean the two words that were?